It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you all along. And he's back from assignment. Captain Mike Ward.
It don't take me long, Sean.
And back from assignment.
I get there and get back pretty quick.
That's right. We just spent all last week's show talking about you. But
oh, I figured that.
Pretty much what we did around here, but yeah. It's okay.
Yeah, everything's fine, man. Fishing's been good.
Fishing is when you can get out. Yeah, I mean, it depends on the kind of fishing you're doing.
Well, it depends on what size boat you got.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I know for the bay boats last weekend, which is a lot of fishermen in bay boats going out in the Gulf. They go out 8, 10, 12, 15 miles or so and catch all the snapper they want. I know it was tough for them. I saw them out there.
Yeah, I came around the West End on that was Saturday. Came around the corner of the West End there, and because you had that south wind, and I said, you know, running down the north side of the island,
it's not bad.
It's going to be fine. Had some kids in the boat. Had my godsons in the boat and a buddy of mine, and we could come around the corner, and Captain Charlie Gray was in with us as well, and we went, oh, man, this is going to be a long day. Ended up turning around and coming back in. Had a water pump issue and turned around and came back in.
Yeah.
But it's one of these things that it's funny. I joke with staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams during the week because he'll say, Sean, it looks like it's going to be okay. And the problem is he knows the facts, but he doesn't spend the time in the boats.
Yeah.
So, and as I try to explain, you know, those of us that do this a lot, and I'm one of those guys. So I'm a 23-foot Kenner.
Bay boat.
It's a big bay boat, but it's a bay boat. And, it used to be a big bay boat. Today, things have changed so much. But in the old, back in 02, when Bill Kenner made that, that's about the biggest bay boat that was around.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's a heck of a great hull for splitting waves. But when you get into, two or better seas, and you have that short period, that 3-second period, that 4-second period, it's just, you can do it. And if I take you or something like that, we could do it. But it's just, if you got, you know, people who don't fish all the time or kids on the boat.
Yeah, that's the main
thing. It's not fun in that science boat.
That's right.
Everything falls out of every hatch. Nothing could, everybody's holding on. Bam, bam, bam. So,
getting beat up. That's no fun.
And that was one of the things, too. So I sent a text to Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon, and he said the numbers should be maybe by this time, well, for sure by this time next week, but maybe during the week next week, we're going to have some stats here because I texted him. I think I can share this with y'all. I just said, hey, we've got to be coming in under projected catch.
Scott Bannon, tell people who's Scott Bannon.
Yeah, Director of Alabama Marine Resources.
Okay.
I texted him and said, hey, we've got to be coming in under catch because we've talked about this. This is why it's good. Everybody thinks, oh, the Snap app, I'm not going to fill that out. No, it actually helps you.
Right.
It helps them. Okay. In the old days, the feds would assume that there were X number of anglers fishing snapper. Okay. They would say let's just say for sake of discussion, to make this simple, they'd say there's 10 snapper anglers on the Gulf Coast. Say the quota is 100 pounds of fish. Okay, the quota, and I'm making this all small
because
I was a communications major, not a math major. So let's keep it in my. So there's 100 pounds of the feds say there's 100 pounds of allowable catch fish. The feds would also say there are 10 anglers, and they're going to go this number of days, and the average fish is 5 pounds.
Yeah.
So they'll say, okay, there are 10 anglers and it's 5 pounds, so that's 2 trips for the 10 anglers, and they're going to be done.
Right.
They're going to reach the quota. But they're going to say that those anglers are going to go on every day that the season is open.
That's right.
We know that's not reality. We know that and obviously the numbers are way bigger, but we know that when you have situations like rough weekends and all that stuff, that just because the last weekend there was X number of anglers, that doesn't mean the next weekend.
They don't account for 2 hurricanes came through 2 weekends in a row.
The feds just say it's open and you're reaching the catch.
That's why four or five years ago,
they started this with the Snapper app to show in reality what we're doing. So that's how it helps us when we have these rough weekends and people, they say, oh, yeah, these many people went out last weekend, but look, it's this less and less. And then, so that's how they arrive at this. And I think those numbers, he said, I don't have the numbers for the weekend 3 yet, but it looks like this weekend as well is not going to be good. He's talking about the rough weather today, and it was rough yesterday and on Thursday. So, those numbers, what this means is, probably going out on a limb here and feeling like we'll make it at least through the end of July with our weekend seasons. They won't close too early. I don't think we're going to reach that quota. I mean, we've had, other than opening weekend wasn't slick.
No,
But it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But we've had a couple weekends for the bay boats, which is a lot of the people going out.
Oh, it's a big part of the people.
They haven't been going. And
All those people had big guff boats, sold their guff boats back 6, mm-hmm. 8, 10 years ago and got bay boats. And, yes, that's a big majority of the people's going out.
So the silver lining to this is, when it's rough like this, it's not like the old days where the feds just go, well, that was another day, so they caught this many.
Yeah.
Now, you use your Snapper app going through the Outdoor Alabama app, and you do what you're supposed to do so you don't get fined, but it also makes a difference. So they can use those numbers. So Alabama Marine Resources goes to the feds and says, uh-uh. Now, we didn't catch that many fish because, look, these people didn't go.
Yeah.
Because it was rough. And they continue to be able to carry over that tonnage of fish to have more days to fish. So that's the benefit of it. And hopefully, eventually, we'll get Friday, Saturday, Sunday where it goes to 1 foot or less and gets variable wind and all those good things. But it has not been as of late.
Well, it's nice to have somebody like Scott Bannon, somebody we know, we can talk to, and maybe even have some influence with him a little bit, all of us anglers, where if it's the federal government's handling everything, it's kind of like them going out and sampling snapper. They go out and sample snapper on sand bottom with no reefs or wrecks anywhere around where there's no snapper down here, so that means there's no snapper around here, so.
It's not perfect. Like I've said, still under – the tonnage is set by the feds.
By the feds, that's right.
Okay, they decide what the allocation is. But how we achieve that allocation and the formula that brings us up to the finish line is done through the state and SNAP app, and it's whatever scales and tails in Mississippi and Louisiana has theirs and Florida has, So that's what we're doing. We're trying to have an accurate assessment instead of having them say, well, another day open and y'all kept that many fish. Yeah, we didn't.
That's right.
All right. So that's the benefit of it. Also on the show today, speaking of fishing, we're going to check in with VP of Publicity with the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Corey Quint's going to join us here shortly. We'll talk with him. Plus trail cameras. So this is, and if you check out like my Instagram page and on my Twitter feed, I posted up one of my favorite trail camera pics of the week.
Yeah.
I have two does and a looks like just a straight up boxing match. Both of them up on the back legs and putting the beat down on each other. And that comes off of one of my cellular trail cameras. But I want to talk about that as the reviews are out for what's new for trail cameras. This is the time of year. Bucks are starting to put on some velvet and some antlers here. You're looking at them growing. People are running cameras. I mean, there's some people that only run cameras during hunting season. Others of us, I actually run them year-round, but I like to start running them July, August, and for sure by August have them in because you start seeing an inventory of what you have on your property buck-wise, and you can watch the growth of those deer. And so some of the new technology out there, of course, there's always better picture, there's better battery life, there's better nighttime photos as they compete, the different manufacturers. But one of the areas that I've seen big improvement in, and I'm running a couple cellular cameras.
Right.
We'll talk a bit about cellular cameras and also some of the ways to save money. So I'm an example. I'm using cellular cameras now. I don't think I'm using my money most efficiently with the system I'm running. I see something else out there we've talked about before from Cuddyback, and I've got some ideas. We're going to talk about what's out there technology-wise, and I'm just going to kind of run through it from a regular guy's perspective, how you may – and I'll have different brands in this, but it's really going to be based more. This is going to be a discussion of picture quality because out of the major brands, there's some that are better, but I say out of the major brands of trail cameras, they're all pretty good.
Yeah, majority of them, yes, they
are. Out of the top line ones. Now, you can get some bargain basement discount ones that don't have a good picture, but they're all, for what I'm doing, pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, the difference is when you go, so we'll take that out of the mix, and we're going to compare them on the ability, cellular or linked cellular, how that works.
Yeah.
Because what you can do is you can quickly get you a dang cable bill's worth of money every month to view pictures on these cellular cameras. And they're great because you don't have to go in your hunting area during season. You can also use them for security. But you can also have a big charge on your credit card every month. So I've looked through some of this stuff and from my perspective, trying to save a dollar, I'm going to show you kind of what I found and getting that discussion. So that's coming up. Yeah, we'll talk some trail cameras later in the show. We come back for the break, though. It is the 86th annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Mike's missed two of them.
Yeah, only three of them.
Yeah, that's right. So he's only fished 83 of them. We'll talk to Corey Quint when we come back. Some changes, too, some significant changes on checking out on Thursday night if you're fishing. You don't have to do that anymore. Talk about some of that and the even bigger grand prize for the random drawing. The boat has gotten bigger. That and a whole lot more when we come back. Back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all here this Saturday. And we'll look at those numbers. Hopefully Scott Bannon will have those catch numbers for us by next week. And we'll be talking about them on next week's show. All right, speaking of fishing, as I mentioned, it's time to talk about the 86th annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. And joining us, Vice President of Publicity, Corey Quint. Corey, my partner here, Mike Ward, he has not fished all 86. You said only 83. Only 83 of them you fished.
Yeah, 83. Yeah, I missed three.
Hey, man, dude, good morning.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So we make old jokes at his expense all the time. All right, listen, I mean, this is, it's time now as we are, looking here, we're a month away.
Yes, sir, we are a month away. Actually, I can tell you, I can tell you exactly how many days. Give me just a second.
Well, see, this is what they do this because the JCs, they work on this. I think Corey told me one time they have like a week off after the rodeo, and then they get to work on the next year's rodeo. And I'm sure they have one of those big calendars where you draw an X on that day, countdown.
27 days.
There you go.
The pressure is on you now as everybody gets ready for the planet's biggest multi-day saltwater fishing tournament and the 86th annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Some changes this year that people need to know about. I think people are pretty excited about these.
Oh, yeah. So our big change that we're trying to make everybody aware of, in the past, we've had a mandatory captain's meeting for our Raymarine Big Game Jackpot, Synergy Laboratories, King Mackerel Jackpot, and that captain's meeting is no longer mandatory. The reason we went this route is, you know, we're trying to draw anglers from outside of the area that maybe could not make that captain's meeting and make sure that they sign out. So that's the big change that we're trying to make everybody aware. There is no mandatory captain's meeting. Now, we'll still have the cash prize meeting upstairs on top of our weigh station. If you've ever attended that, you know it's a good time. We still have that, but in addition, all those cash prize divisions, all your jackpot tickets, they're all available online at adsfr.com.
So you don't have to be there for the cash to get in the cash wars.
No, you have to for the cash, but not to just check out, right?
No, you can get in the cash prize division online.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that will help a lot, I believe. There's a lot of people that, you know, they want to go to Louisiana, I know, fish from Dolphin Island to Louisiana, and having to stay there till, 7 o'clock at night trying to get out of there, it's really rough on them. So I understand that's really a good change for y'all, I believe.
Well, we're hoping so. Hopefully we can get some, like I said, hopefully we can get some anglers from outside the area that cannot make that meeting. Hopefully it'll entice them to fish those divisions, knowing that they can do it. All they got to do is buy a ticket.
Yeah, that's one thing, too, that Corey, we were talking a couple weeks ago about this, and I'd never thought about it. I just kind of grew up here, and I think about exactly what Mike said. Check it out for us to leave from here and go to Louisiana or somewhere else to fish. But you talked about the number of people from other states that fish in the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo.
Oh, yeah, it's unreal. We were able to pull that data a couple years ago once we went to the electronic weigh station, with all of our fish being weighed electronically and putting in the database and that kind of stuff, and angler registration. And I want to say I pulled those numbers, I want to say earlier this year, and we attract anglers from over 33 states.
Man.
Is that, I mean, that is
big time.
You know, that's the stuff that, I mean, we're always talking about, you know, on the weekday show with people from the city and county in Alabama trying to, you know, tourism, and we're bringing these people in here and we're advertising Visit Mobile or come to the Gulf Coast. Y'all are doing that with the rodeo. I mean, that's impressive. 33 different states. And those people don't come without spending money here.
Absolutely. I mean, people see our tournament. They see the results. You know, we've got a very good footprint in the as far as social media is concerned, and they see it, they read about it. You know, we've been in big publications, stuff like that, and they see it, they want to check it out. And usually once somebody comes and fishes our tournament one time, they're hooked for life. You know, they want to come back and fish it. You know, it's an experience all in itself.
Yeah, and I want to get into that, too, in just a minute or two, because not only the fishing tournament, but the party y'all have that's gotten bigger and bigger. We'll talk about music acts and all that, but I want to stay on the fishing front right now, especially this morning, and talk about some more of the changes. You mentioned the other day a change here. Lane snapper is out, and what is in?
Warsaw grouper replaced the lane snapper category.
How about that? That hadn't been in there in a while.
Yep.
That was one of the things that we targeted years ago,
mm-hmm.
and man, that's awesome that that's back in. I really like that.
Yep, it's going to be part of our 30 regular open competition categories. You know, 15 inshore, 15 offshore. But Warsaw grouper is replacing lane snapper. Hopefully, we see quite a few of those big grouper come in and you know hang up, and you know hopefully we got to use the crane to lift them.
Yeah.
And, you know, anglers are going to, our spectators are going to love to see that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, the anglers love it, but you're right. I mean, from your perspective back at the weigh dock, and all the people come down just to see the fish, whether they're fish on ice or fish in the live tank, to see a big Warsaw grouper on ice there, one that, you know, everybody like, he could eat my head.
Yeah.
You know, everybody likes to look at that.
Right. That's what they love.
Well, we can't catch amberjack now, and people like to go out and catch something that's big, you know. And,
that's big.
Yeah, and you know, fight it and get it in for the rodeo and all. But since you can't catch amberjack anymore in the rodeo, Warsaw grouper is going to be an excellent category.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping on.
Yep.
All right. Also, if you're just joining us, talking to VP of Publicity with the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, Corey Quint. Sharks out this year.
Yes, Shark is out this year. You know, we've gone a couple different ways, but we decided to end the shark category altogether this year. A few years ago, we moved to catch and release. Over the years, participation has dwindled, and anglers' focus has gone to different species. We worked closely with Dr. Marcus Dryman, and he agreed with us on ending the category due to participation. Although we do not have it now, we hope to bring it back in the future in the best format possible.
Okay, so it may show back up in the future.
Yes.
This one here, this next change, Corey, this one is, I think it's interesting, and I've heard different reaction to it, but it completely makes sense to me because of situations I've experienced personally with this. Crane Works Red Snapper Jackpot now. Jackpot ticket, it's per angler, right? Not for the boat.
Correct. It is now per angler, not for the whole boat.
So I can, we talked about this the other day, because this is my reality. I have some guys that I could fish with on Friday, but then some other people are going Saturday and invited me to go with them. And so I move boats, you know, sometimes just the reality of work schedules and all that. So now my jackpot ticket travels with me, not the boat.
Correct.
Yeah, that's, I kind of like that.
You know, I mean, at first, I know some of my friends say, well, man, we, you know, pull money together. But you get in the situation where if you're not on the, you know, if you have a team of people, everybody fishes the same way, that's one thing. But for a lot of people, they may not. They may go with one buddy one day and somebody else the other day and on their boat the third.
What about the price of the ticket? That'll make a difference. Is it cheaper per person now instead of boat?
Well, last year it was $150 per boat.
Yes.
This year, it is $50 per angler.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's reasonable.
Absolutely, especially for what it pays out. You know, the Crane Works Red Snapper Jackpot is going to pay cash prizes first through 10th place with a first-place prize of $6,000 based on 100 entries. And there's also going to be three random drawings among all the anglers who enter the fish in the Crane Works Red Snapper Jackpot. including a Honda Recon four-wheeler courtesy of Pronto Pond, a boat lift courtesy of Team, and a boat lift courtesy of Team Simco.
How about that?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I like it. I do like it, and it truly has been an issue for me in the past where I'm like, guys, I want to fish with you, but I'm on that jackpot thing, but I'm going to go fish with so-and-so on Saturday. So, I think that's going to be a winner. Let's talk about some of the other changes in the mix, too. I won't even say it because you got mad at me the other day. There's the big change. Actually, well, I can't even say that. You're going to get mad. Tell us about the big change here, okay?
So this year we are giving away the largest boat that we've ever given away in this tournament. This year we are giving away a 24-foot contender boat outfitted with a Yamaha motor and sport trail trailer. That doesn't go to the largest or like the largest fish or the master angler or anything like that. This is a completely random drawing for all of our entrants that weigh in a legal fish within our category or within our tournament. As long as your fish is a category within our tournament, meets our minimum length, and you weigh it in, you have a shot at winning this boat.
And that's a good deal.
And it's always been one of these benchmarks of what y'all do, and this thing that keeps me still in the game through Sunday, even though I didn't catch any big fish, hoping beyond hope to win the boat. But it's been a 21 contender, right?
Right.
And now a 24.
Well, it was a 21 for many, many years. Contender did away with the 21, and they replaced it with a 22. We gave away a 22 for a couple years, and now they're giving us a 24 to give away.
Man, that's a heck of a prize.
I passed that boat up.
I think this is either the 21st or the 22nd contender that we've given away.
Wow.
So, it's cool to see them. You know, usually throughout the weekend, you'll see past rodeo giveaway boats, you know, come into the weigh station, tie up, and that's really, it's really cool to see, you know, from our standpoint.
I passed that boat the other day on the interstate, and I looked at it, and I said, man, that's a big 21.
Because it's 24.
Yeah.
Is it the new one this year that we've got custom wrapped and all that kind of stuff?
Was it the new one they got
with
the wrap?
Yeah, it's got the new wrap on it and everything. Yes, it does. Yes, that's the new one I
saw.
Yeah, it looked great.
Gulf Coast Graphics and the Bonnie Fly and Mossy Oak, they all work together and design that wrap. And like I said, the guys over at Gulf Coast Graphics, they did a phenomenal job on that wrap.
I'm going to Gulf Coast Graphics the first of the week next week and get a wrap on my boat. They do a great job.
Pictures of me
over there.
Yeah, pictures of me and you.
Is it pictures? No, I just want pictures of me down the side of your boat. Just my smiling face. That's what the rap should be. Just pictures of me.
Yeah, we're gonna put FM Talk 106, and you're paying for it, right?
We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Continue if you're just joining us, talking about the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, the 86th, with Corey Quint from the JCs. All right, Corey, let's talk more on jackpots here too, because we hadn't even talked about trout and king mackerel.
Right. So we have the Yamaha Motors Blazer Boats and L&M Marine Speckle Trout Jackpot this year. It's going to pay cash first through 10th place with the first place prize of $8,400 based on 600 entries. There's also going to be two random drawings in that, and one of them is, you can guess it, another boat.
Yeah.
It's a 19-foot Blazer Bay boat powered by a 90-horsepower Yamaha Show motor from L&M Marine, and it also is on a Sport Trail trailer as well. Once again, that is a random drawing between all participants within that division, so you don't have to have the biggest spec, or you don't have to have, be the top angler within that division. It is a random drawing. We also have the Spring Hill Medical Center live weigh-in division, which is, everybody loves conservation, we're trying to push conservation, so we do have a live redfish and live speckled trout weigh-in. So,
and those are the ones too.
So y'all, if you can keep your fish alive, it's very, very lucrative.
Yeah. Okay. And talk about that. When somebody goes, say they're at the website and they're trying to get in that division, is there going to be a tab for that to be in the live division?
Oh no. There is no ticket involved for that.
If you're fishing. trout, or in addition, fishing the jackpot, and you keep your fish alive, it could be a
right.
And then
essentially, say if you come in and you catch a big fish, Sean,
mm-hmm.
and you're in the jackpot. So what would happen is, if you keep it alive, you would essentially win. Let's say you're going to win the jackpot.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to win the live division. You're going to win the regular open competition division. And then if you're in any kind of cash, you'd win that division as well. So it's almost like the way to think about
it's like
it,
another like division,
separate little divisions or tournaments that you're only competing against the other entries within that division.
So if Sean didn't have, if he didn't keep his fish alive, but he won first place, and second place kept his fish alive, he would win the live division, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great. Yeah, so it's just a different division. It's
exactly.
Worth keeping alive, yes, if you can.
And it's cool, too, you think about the people coming down to the rodeo site, that live tank. I love that. Every year, the kids will, okay, myself and the kids will go look at the fish in the live tank.
Yeah.
I like that.
Right. Well, Saltwater Fanatics has given us their live tank. This will be the second year in a row. It's a great tank to keep fish alive in. You know, usually throughout the whole weekend, we'll have multiple redfish, multiple speckled trout in there. It's kind of like a staging area for weighing them live and then getting them tagged and getting them released. So it's used to, you know, help keep fish healthy, you know, kind of revive them a little bit if they're not doing too well, and then they'll be released at the end of each day.
All right, let's do this. I got to run to the break. Can you hold on for a second with us?
Absolutely.
All right, coming right back. A little more Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo talk, some of the changes of note, and just things that you need to know before you go get your ticket. We'll keep that conversation going when we come back. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Continue our discussion with Corey Quint from the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, the 86th annual, of which Mike's only fished 83.
Yeah.
Only 83 of the 86.
Hurricanes.
That's right. Only 83 of the 86. We're 27 days till rodeo time?
Yeah, something like 27, 29, something like that.
Wow. All right. You and Mike were talking during the news break there about the digital board, the real-time stats here. If people haven't paid attention in the past, explain how that works.
Yeah. Since we moved to the electronic weigh station, you can go and check the leaderboard at any time. It's up to date. It's real-time. It is available at adsfr.com. And then just check the leaderboard section, and it'll be a live leaderboard. I mean, and it's everything.
Okay, how quick is it updated?
You weigh in a fish, it's updated in there within 5 to 10 seconds.
Okay, so if I brought in a 35-pound red snapper and y'all weighed it in, within just minutes, it's up on the board.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, well, that's awesome.
Which reduces heartbreak. Like in the old days, you'd have that fish up there, and you felt pretty good, and things were in. People weighed fish in, but it'd take, you know, in the old days, 10 to 30 minutes, and then you see your name
longer,
and you see your name wiped. You see your name wiped off.
Longer than that, you know, we would run like a box reconciliation, which is you know, we're going through all the categories, making sure everything matches. And we would make a list, give it to one of the lovely rodeo wives to go up there and update the board. So it happened. You know, roughly every hour to hour and a half, but it takes a long time to rewrite that board. You know, we have over 90 places just in our open competition, and then probably another, 40 or 50 within our jackpots. And then plus you got cash and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was a real undertaking to do that. But now it's all digital. It's all real time. You can see it on the website. We have a video board behind the stage, a big video board that displays it as well. So,
all right,
coming a long way.
That really helps the anglers a lot, especially if you're you're out over at Orange Beach and you're trying to figure out, is it worth taking my fish over to Dolphin Island and weigh it, or, you know, you're in Mississippi or Louisiana or whatever.
So it's always worth it to weigh in your fish to get into that random drawing for that boat.
Yes.
Got that right. Yes. All right, let's talk tickets here. People want to get their tickets, get their jackpot tickets. Walk us through that process, how we do it.
Yep. So right now, tickets are available online at adsfr.com. You can buy every single ticket, every single division there. One good thing about buying a ticket online is you do automatically get registered with Fish and Chaos. That's our tournament software. Tickets will be in all of our outlets early to middle of next week, which our outlets are Academy Sports and Outdoors Festival Center, West Mobile and Foley, Blue Water Ship Stores, Fish and Chaos, again, that's online, Easy End Storage, Greer's Market at Fowl River, Howland Associates Insurance Agency, J&M Tackle, Quint Sporting Goods, Pronto Pond and Theodore, Tackle This and Shoot That, and we'll have them at the rodeo site July 13th during the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament, and then on Thursday, July 18th for the Liars Contest through 5 a.m., July 19th, whenever we have our cannon blast for the start of the tournament.
And also remind folks, too, that if they do buy it not online, they need to go, like you said, log into Fish and Chaos to what's it called, validate the ticket, or what's the term?
Well, it's you can go to adsfr.com, and it's going to be a link that says register your ticket. So what you do is you click that, you'll create your profile with Fish and Chaos, and you'll put in your ticket information, and whenever you come up to the weigh station, they'll just scan your barcode or your QR code that's on your ticket or on your phone after you register it, and it automatically pulls up like all your angler data, you know, all your questions, you know, all that information, and it goes ahead and tells us, like, if you weigh, let's go back a second to your speckled trout, Sean.
Okay.
You know, say that you're in the jackpot, say you're in the cash, and we weigh in a fish. As soon as we weigh that fish, it knows directly where to put that fish in what divisions and what categories and all that kind of stuff. So it's a real neat system, and it's in every angler needs to be registered, especially going back to that no captains meeting. Catch, if you're fishing the Ray Marine big game jackpot or the catch and release tarpon, for the Raymarine Big Game Jackpot, for the catch and release billfish and the tarpon category, they both use designators.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still come in and pick up your designator on the site on Thursday, like whenever we would normally have that captain's meeting. But if you don't want to make that run, make sure your ticket is registered by Thursday, the 18th, and we are going to email out designators.
That's good.
So you don't have to come.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is making it so much easier. All right. But just a minute and a half left here. But I want to, before we go, those folks that are anglers that like to listen to some live music, or people that just want to come down and be part of the party, talk about the what's going on shore at the radio at the rodeo site.
Right. So on Thursday, July 18th, we have our Liars Contest at 6 o'clock. That's open to any participant. Tell your best fishing story. Your lying fishing story. We award three places with that: best liar, runner up liar, and worst liar. So first, second, and last. We have Rolling in the Hay for live music following that at 7:30. And then Friday, July 19th, we have Blues and Trouble at 4 p.m. And we have the Molly Ringwalds presented by the United States Air Force at 7:30 p.m. Saturday, July 20th. We have Prime Country at 11 a.m. and the Red Clay Strays at 5 p.m. And Sunday, July 31st, we have Bruce Smelly at 11 a.m. and Keith Burns and the Back Pew Riders at 3 p.m. All of this is free of charge, open to the public, and they're all appearing on the Mobile Chevrolet stage throughout the weekend.
Good deal. Well, we'll be checking back in the weeks to come as we get closer to the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament and, of course, big rodeo after that. Corey, thanks for your time. Thanks for being on the show.
No problem, man. Always a pleasure.
All right. Corey Quint, VP of Publicity for the 86th Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. 86.
It's, I hope I'm around for the hunt.
I hope you are, too. I hope you are, too. Okay, we're coming right back. Talking trail cams here as we wrap it up. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Big thank you to Corey Quint with the Alabama Deep Sea Fish and Rodeo. And yeah, we'll be doing shows from down there come rodeo weekend. You'll see the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit. I think we're planning, I know I'm planning my Friday midday show to be down there and then off and on through the weekend as well. Mike, you should see the look on Mike's face right now. Like, you didn't have to do it last year. You won't have to do it this year.
Yeah.
But I have to be there, so... You will be far away. That's why I fish. That's why I fish speckled trout.
Well, you
because
fish
around the island.
That's right. You got to fish between
shows and the liars contest and all the stuff that I do with the rodeo. So yeah, so I'll be there, but always have a good time when we do it.
And then the diet. I keep saying the diet.
Boy Martin Young Anglers Tournament, which is 60 years now.
Something like that. Yeah,
60. I think it is. Yeah, isn't that something? They've been doing this, the kids' tournament, which was, for the longest time, of course, called the Diet, the Dolphin Island Young Anglers Tournament, which is officially named Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament, 61st annual.
61st, yeah. And that's the week before the big rodeo.
Right.
And that's, man, that is a big deal.
Taking
all these kids fishing, that is a big deal.
Yeah, and we will hopefully be around for that as well. We'll talk about it. All right, before we run out of time on today's show, I just want to do one thing from the hunting world, because I think timing-wise, this is the time of year either people are putting out trail cameras, starting to watch deer, trying to get whether you have a mineral location or a protein feeder or something like that, trying to watch what bucks you have on your property. And I would say if right now, and I'm watching stuff quite a bit, not a whole bunch going on, but you can see the amount of width that rack's going to have. I mean, they're just at the ears now, a little bit above, but you can see that. But tell you what. By July into August, you start seeing what you're dealing with. Now, it's still going to be a month and more until they're going to shed velvet.
Right.
But you really start getting an idea of what you're dealing with rack-wise on your property for bucks. Before Labor Day, you get an idea of what kind of frame you're looking at, how many points that deer has. And so people are putting out game cams is what I'm getting at, trail cameras. There's some people only use them during hunting season, but I think more and more people are using them before hunting season ever opens.
Sure they are. Yeah, because they've got all the feeders out now, the protein feeders that they're doing. And, yes, they are putting cameras out year-round.
And I would say, too, if you're going to do putting feeders out and do a lot of checking and doing all this stuff, might as well do it this time of year, not when season's in.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you not have so much impact. But I'm going to get to that in just a second. So I said at the beginning of the show, we're not going to get into all the differences in pictures because that's a whole other discussion. We only have time for this. But comparing a couple out here in the cellular trail cam world, okay, I am running right now, and I'm getting ready to make this addition, I think. Right now I'm running Spy Point cameras.
Yeah.
Okay. And pretty good pictures and pretty good reliability. You can use Verizon or AT&T. And when you go look at Spy Point, I use the Link Evo. When you look, there's some of the cameras, they look the same, but you got to check the box. Some are for either, and some are for just Verizon.
Huh.
Okay? So, and why that's important is, at your camp, wherever you're hunting, where you're going to have the camera, what kind of signal do you have? You can look, sure, you can go look at the coverage maps for different cellular providers. And goes, here's where we hunt, and look at that, is it shaded dark red, light red, white, which means no signal. I would challenge you also, and this is what I did over time, find buddies that have service with, you know, whatever it is. Maybe because I'm running C Spire, right?
Yeah.
So I don't have AT&T or Verizon. But I got a friend who's got a Verizon phone, so you go out there and check it. If somebody else got AT&T, hey, y'all ride with me because where on your property you want to put the camera, you want to see how many bars they get, you know, what kind of signal they get.
Sure.
And it's not 4G or 3G. It's truly cellular signal. So it's not – you don't have to have the internet capacity. You just have the cellular signal, because the photographs that are taken from those cameras are sent packaged like a text message. All right, so you get that and you figure out what camera. In this case, I'm using SpyPoint. And there's also a part of this that the harder it has to work for getting that cellular signal, the faster you go through batteries.
So yeah, because it's searching. Yeah.
Right. So the better thing to do, you got to make that assessment. Then you buy a camera, and then there's a lot to it. You set different settings, obviously, like you would on any camera, the sensitivity, the number of photos. Are you doing video? I would say if you're doing cellular cameras, get out of the idea that you're going to take video and then take the pictures. Yeah. I mean, video, send the video. That's just maybe if you're somewhere, you got a perfect connection, great. But for most of us, don't set it to video. Set it to camera. Also, I would say if you want to get pictures delivered more quickly and better, lower the resolution on the pictures. Because higher resolution is a bigger file. It's harder to sell. Harder to send through the text. So get your camera. Make sure you have a cellular connection there by taking your buddies like, let's go look at the camp.
Yeah.
And, oh, let me see your phone real fast. Figure out what kind of connection you have there. Then apply that when you make the purchase of your camera. When you set it up, get the best batteries you can. Because this idea is, what we're getting at is, your cameras are going to be running at your camp, your hunt lease, wherever, when you're home in Mobile or Baldwin counties. You're not going up to you don't have to go up and pull cards all the time. That's changed.
Sending the pictures to your phone.
So you want the best batteries in that sucker you can.
Yep.
You want to have the best connection, and you want to the lowest resolution that you can tolerate on your photos that are worth it to you. Lower that resolution because it's easier for it to send by cellular. So those are some of the keys. And these camera manufacturers also have add-on antenna systems that can maybe get you another bar of service, maybe not.
They have solar, too, that you can add.
And you could do the solar and the backup batteries, but that's what I'm going to get to. When you start doing that, then you can shift into letting it work more. But it's different. Like I'll say, well, I'm about to talk about Cuddyback glowingly here. I've got Spy Point's solar and rechargeable battery system is better, I think, than the Cuddyback system, even though I'm kind of sold on the Cuddyback system overall. Now, we talked about it last year, but they've ironed out some of the wrinkles in this system from last year. It's even better. I've been reading the reviews, and it's the Cuddy Link system.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what, and I'm hopefully going to add it here in the probably next week and a half, and I'll talk more about this. So I run Cuddyback cameras as it is now. I have Brownings and Cuddybacks.
That's the problem. You got every kind of you can imagine because you're trying to see what's the best.
This is really good from Cuddyback for a marketing for them. So their system is, their Cuddy Link is a system that links all your Cuddyback cameras. Now, it would say between a quarter mile to a half mile in the woods, a mile to a mile and a half in open.
Okay. Yeah.
This is not cellular now. This is it's actually kind of a Bluetooth network between the cameras.
Yeah.
Okay, so camera A, B, C, and D, you would need to, if the farthest place away in your property, you can put camera A down there, right? And camera A has to be close enough to camera B to link to it, and camera B can be close enough within a quarter mile or whatever to camera C, and then arriving back at the destination, camera D. Now, you can run that system just as it is and run that and go have one card that all your cameras dump into one card on this Cuddy Link system.
Yeah.
Okay. You can do that so you don't have to go individually into the woods. Like during hunting season, I don't want to go down that bottom, and only when the wind's right and this and that,
sure,
staying out of your hunting areas. You can pull one card that could be up on a fence post where you drive into your property, whatever. Your card with all the information will be there. But in addition now, Cuddyback has their cellular camera work with that card. So what you do is you get the Cuddy Link system that links all, it's up to, I think it's up to 15 this year cameras you can link through. I guess 14 with the last one being the cellular.
Pretty good.
And the last one, see, think about all these cameras talk to each other in Bluetooth, almost like, it's like the Pony Express. Camera A doesn't ever go back to, the camera A is that camera, I told you all this, the farthest down the woods. Camera A doesn't actually directly talk to camera D. It talks to B, and then B talks to C, and C talks to D. It sends those pictures on up the line using this technology.
That is really good.
Right. So it doesn't, you know, you'll say, well, I can't work this system because it says it can't be more than a quarter mile. A quarter mile between individual cameras. So you just find a reason to set a camera somewhere else, and it's almost like it's the Pony Express. It goes from here to here, there to there, and links through. So you run that system, and the last camera, the one that I would suggest to you, we go back to this idea of testing the cell, how good of a cell you have in wherever you are hunting, that best place on your property. Okay, the place you go to text back home during the weekend.
Yeah.
You know that place in the canyon? Oh, you drive up on the hill there, you'll get a signal.
Yeah.
That place, you have the last camera. Now, like I said, and Cuddy Back now has their cellular camera goes with this. And so you buy the cellular, you buy that link system, and now the cellular camera will talk to the link system. So it becomes the last of the links. It goes into that. And then all those pictures go to that card and can be cellular transmitted. All right. So I told you we're going to save you some money. I'm running Spy Points right now. Spy Points deal is every camera I have from Spy Point, I have to have an individual contract on. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's costing me right now, I think $12 a month per camera.
So that's what next question I was going to ask you was that. But anyway, go ahead.
So Cuddy Back charges you, I think it's $15 a month for, I think it's 1,000 or 2,000. No, it's 2,000 photos, right? $15 a month. But it doesn't care. It only sees that as one camera. That last in the link, you have one cellular camera at the end of the link. All the others don't have to be cellular. Like right now running Spy Points, all my Spy Point cameras have to be cellular.
Mm-hmm.
With Cuddy Back system, you link them all together, have the last one linked to the one cellular camera you buy. That sends all the pictures back to with Cuddy Back, like Spy Point delivers them to an app on my phone.
Yeah.
And it do that with Cuddy Back. It also deliver it to email. And you can get them that way and look at the pictures and you can see, oh, that's camera A, that's camera B, that's camera C, that's camera D, and it sends it out. So that's
pretty neat.
Yeah. So that's one of the things I just wanted before anybody goes any further and looking at this. And maybe there's other people who have this technology. I haven't seen it. And it's just before you get into, and I like my Spy Point cameras, but I got to pay an individual contract on every cellular camera I'm running with them.
Yeah. But you're putting 10 or 12 or 15 cameras out.
Huge money.
Yeah, that'd be way too expensive.
This is why I think Cuddy Back, just from a business perspective, is winning this one right now. Is you go through and Cuddy Back is going to make it a lot easier to get those pictures and do it for cheaper. All right, got to get out of here. Prep Sports Report on the way next.